Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Assembly Majority Leader, Ray Hager, has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Marcus Conklin of Las Vegas. We'll be talking about future leadership, the constitutionality of home foreclosures, and taxes.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Larry Mathias, Chris Ferrari, and Trey Abney. Coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Marcus Conklin. He is the Assembly Majority Leader. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Wanted to talk about the foreclosure mediation program that you helped author. How do you think that is working so far in the Silver State?
I think it's working out pretty well. I haven't seen the absolutely most recent numbers, but we reviewed the program during the last legislative session, Sam, and I think it's going quite well. Of course, we tried during the last legislative session to expand the program a bit, tighten it up, a few more sticks and a few more carrots for the banks to participate in the program. That subsequently, I believe, was turned down by the governor, but the program itself is still very solid and continues to help homeowners.
We had Supreme Court Justice James Hardesty on the program yesterday, and he was saying that the constitutionality question has not come before the Supreme Court yet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I'm not entirely sure. Usually, or at least in my experience, the courts have been quite generous to the legislature when the legislature is trying to solve significant problems. And so I would hope that would be the case here as well. But you never know. If it comes to the Supreme Court, then they're going to have to listen to arguments on both sides and make a decision. It would be kind of odd because the court administers the mediation program. And the court system retains all the fees, so sometimes you wonder what level of bias there might be in that process, but I would suspect that they would uphold it.
You're concerned about bias from the Supreme Court due to the fact that they collect the fees from the program?
I'm not concerned about it, but the fact still remains that they administer that program. So because they administer that program and they know it in detail, I would assume it's awfully hard to argue against, not to mention the fact that that members of the court were there to testify in support and participate in the drafting of the law in the first place. So I would hope if there's a constitutionality question, we would have addressed it during the legislative session when we had members of the Supreme Court present.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry to stay on this, but it seems to me like you're making an accusation here about the bias of the Supreme Court. And that would be a very serious issue, don't you think?
No. There's not a bias in the negative sense. It's just that from my perspective as a legislator, if we have people participating at the legislative end to support a program that we're about to administer, I hope that we have done a good enough job in asking questions that we wouldn't have a constitutionality question. We have our own legal staff participating, and we have members of the Supreme Court who come and testify as to the viability of the program. So I'm not suggesting there's a negative bias. It's just that I think we've done our homework relative to whether or not this program is constitutional or not. It is possible. I would assume it's possible that maybe we didn't ask a question that's going to come up, but I just don't think that's the case.
Okay, Mr. Conklin, let me get you off the hook on that one. The leadership in the Assembly and the Senate, the both leaders running for Congress now, do you see yourself as part of the new leadership in the Assembly, being the Assembly Speaker in the 2013 session?
We won't decide on speakerships and other leadership positions for next session until after the next election. All I can tell you is I'm currently the majority leader in the Assembly, as you know, and so I'm a key member of the leadership team currently. I will continue to hold that post and do my job to the best of my ability until the end of this term.
Well, Mr. Conklin, you know that the key here is, it looks like it's going to be a competition for the Assembly speakership between you and Debbie Smith of Sparks. Who do you think would do the better job with that?
I have the utmost admiration for Debbie Smith, and Debbie and I have worked together on the leadership team for in excess of 4 years now, and we will continue to work together very well.
Do you believe that Marilyn Kirkpatrick is also going to be in this race?
I believe that Marilyn Kirkpatrick is also a key member of the leadership team, and she is also working with me and Debbie, along with others, as I am working with them, and Debbie is working with us. I think sometimes people make much ado about nothing, and I think that's certainly the case here. The leadership team of the Assembly Democratic Caucus is working well together and will continue to do so throughout this next election. The fact of the matter is nobody can choose anything or run for anything without obtaining a majority in the Assembly, and so right now everybody's focused on getting through the redistricting process and getting on with the races so that we can make sure that we return a majority of members to the Assembly.
All right, let's take a break. More with Marcus Conklin when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Greenhouse Project, a Nevada nonprofit whose mission is to establish and sustainably operate a community-based greenhouse to supply food for those in need, will host a celebrity chef dinner on Monday, November 14th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Adele's Restaurant in Carson City. A sumptuous six-course wine pair dinner will be prepared by Chef Charlie Abaud from Adele's and guest chef Mylon Schmidt from Coco Dolce. Tickets are $200 per person, available exclusively at Adele's.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
How will new energy technology make our lives better? Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assembly Majority Leader Marcus Conklin.
Mr. Conklin, at the legislature, as you know, for almost every session, the debate circles around taxes. Now, in the 2013 session, do you think that Democrats will propose a tax increase of any kind?
I think that the question remains, or the answer to that question, if you will, remains unclear. A lot depends on what happens economically between now and then, how much our economy grows, because anytime our economy grows, certainly the revenue that we're able to generate to run government is going to grow with it. That being said, I do believe, and it remains, I think, to be that there are significant downfalls with the current revenue system. So even if it's not an increase, at least from my perspective, I think we need to continue to take a hard look at the revenue system that we have in place, which was largely built in the 60s and 70s. And the question is does it reflect the economic activity that takes place in our state these days? And I think the answer to that is probably no.
Okay, now if the Democrats feel that the revenue system isn't bringing in enough revenue and there needs to be some reform, will you propose that reform at the beginning of the session, or like leadership did in the last session with Democrats, wait until the end and try to get it through, kind of an end-around run?
Yeah, I think what we've done in the past, and it wasn't just last session, I think at least for the 10 years that I've been involved in the legislature, we've gone about business exactly the same way. You can't decide if new revenue is needed until you understand, A, how much revenue you have, and B, how much expenditures you need to make to do at least a minimum level of service for the citizens of our state. And so that process is lengthy. That budgetary process takes the first three and a half months of any legislative session, and because we only have 4 months, by very definition, the tax debate has always come up at the end of session. Would it be nice if we had more time to discuss those issues? Certainly, but we're kind of bound constitutionally to the four-month cycle that we have. So I'm not sure how much it will change. If we are going to have a legitimate debate, more time, I do believe, is necessary. A lot depends on, what it looks like come December with the forecast from the Economic Forum. That would be December of 2012. And then, what the general consensus is of members of both houses going into the next legislative session as to how that debate will proceed.
And this is one of the things that I've had a beef with the legislature about for many years, which is you'll have numbers coming out, all the way through the year from the Economic Forum. There's no reason that you have to wait until the beginning of a legislative session to start looking at the numbers and seeing where the trends are going. We're already seeing interesting trends popping up now with numbers coming in higher than they originally thought. And shouldn't we be looking ahead to 5-year plans and 10-year plans of where the state wants to go rather than constantly doing this 2-year cycle? Businesses would not succeed if they only operated on a 2-year cycle.
Well, and you're absolutely correct in the way that business would not succeed on a 2-year cycle. I'll loosely call this the problem that we have, although I don't believe it's a problem. I think it's the same thing that most states face, is that no one legislature can bind the next, because each legislature has gone through an election cycle that has brought in potentially new members that represents a new dynamic in our society and in our culture. And so, coincidentally, any law that's passed in this session can be overturned or replaced with a new law in the next legislative session, and that includes budgets. Budgets are passed into law. So It makes it very difficult from a strategic planning standpoint to have a long-term, as you say, Sam, a 10-year plan when you know that the dynamic is going to change over time, not to mention that little wrench that gets thrown in from time to time of a recession or a boom cycle that changes the dynamic of how much money we have, how we want to spend that money, where we want to prioritize that money, because some of the needs of our society changes over that 10-year cycle as well. So on the one hand, we'd like to have a plan. We'd like to know, you know, exactly what we're going to do for the next 10 years. But there's a lot of unforeseen circumstances that can come up in that cycle, in that 10-year cycle, just like there's a lot of unforeseen circumstances that can come up in a 2-year cycle.
But, you know, Mr.
So finding the right balance of...
You know, if I may interrupt you for just a second here, but isn't that the problem? We want to attract businesses here for economic development. And the thing that they're most concerned about is instability. Instability in taxes, instability in education, in higher education. Wouldn't we help to be more economically diversified if we could give corporations and companies stability over a longer period of time than just 2 years to entice them to move to the service state?
Yeah, I think yes, the answer to that is yes. But you have to remember that every state is going through a 1 or 2 year cycle to begin with. We could solve some of our problems. For example, my personal belief is more businesses would come here if we didn't have a consistent budget shortfall. Solving our budget shortfall would mean either further cuts to education or finding a revenue source that offers some sense of growth relative to the growth that we see in our own economy. And in doing so, that means the debate over taxes would not have to be had every other year or every legislative cycle, but it's something that you could solve at one time, whether it's neutral or increase or what have you, but then have a budget that is sustainable for the future, and that in turn would create some sense of stability for businesses. You know, are businesses concerned about how much taxes they pay? Absolutely. But I think the point that you're making, and I would certainly agree with it, is this. A business is more concerned that there would be changes to that program in a given year than they are necessarily about how much that is. Because they do plan 2, 5, 10 years out. And the more information that they have up front about how much they're going to have to plug into their budget, the better off they're going to be at creating a profit for themselves, which is what all businesses is in business for.
And that's where we have to leave it, sir. I thank you so much for being on the program. We appreciate it. Please come back soon. We'll be right back on About the Newsmakers after this timeout.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
On the surface, we didn't have a case. The client fell down some stairs.
Insurance will never cover that.
The Associates of David Allen.
Rick Handel case for 7-Eleven a couple of years ago. We did win that case.
He proved that the stairway wasn't up to code, a clear violation.
What about this case, Don?
Same thing. We measured the stairs.
And they weren't up to code?
Does the insurance company know about this violation?
They will.
David Allen and Associates, concentrating on personal injury cases like yours.
Change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Chris Ferrari is here, principal with Ferrari Public Affairs, Larry Mathias, executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association, and Trey Abney, director of government relations for the Chamber, which is the Chamber of Northern Nevada.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's delve in here. A lot of things coming out of the interview with Assembly Majority Leader Marcus Conklin. I was very surprised to hear him talk about the potential of bias in this foreclosure mediation, because the Supreme Court administers the programs and they get money from the programs. That seems like a pretty strong accusation. He was trying to walk it back, but that's what I thought I heard.
Potentially just a misunderstanding of a question. And I think that obviously what the intent was is to help Nevada homeowners. I think that's the message he's trying to focus on. As it pertains to the Supreme Court, I'll leave that one alone.
I just thought that was an interesting route to go. I mean, we had Justice Hardesty on the program yesterday. I would love to have been able to follow up and ask him what he thought about that response.
I'm not sure that Marcus fully understood what the constitutional issue was. And I think that there is one. And I don't think bias enters into it. I do think it's about actions in the face of the economic crisis, and now having to match those actions up with the state's constitution, with the law. So it was certainly not a well-crafted answer, but I think that the issue is actually one that the Attorney General and the Supreme Court are going to be confronting over the coming months.
I think what Marcus was getting at, Sam, is that all through the legislative process, when they were talking about these issues and these bills, they had the Supreme Court come in and work with them, come in and testify, come in and say, you know, how would this operate if you were to handle it? How would you do this? How would you do that? And so I think what he meant to say is, these guys, the Supreme Court, were in on it from the very beginning, and so they, if there were any constitutional issues, I think Assemblyman Conklin feels that it would have been raised then.
I don't disagree on that. I think it was the idea that there might be bias on the part of the Supreme Court due to the fact that they were getting the funds to administer their program, and therefore they would be more in favor of it continuing constitutionality not regarding. Okay, let's talk about the other issue then that was raised there, which was, you know, and I would be after Morse Arbery when he was heading up the Finance Committee in the Assembly, you know, this lack of planning beyond a couple of years, it is nonsense. It doesn't make sense. And I do understand that things change. Obviously things change, but if you don't have a strategy in place, how do you move forward and how do you encourage businesses to come here?
You jump from crisis to crisis, which is the way Nevada has generally adopted policy. The time for being able to get away with that is probably long past. It was something that when you had a very small population, you could make it through even bad thinking when times got bad. I think that right now, though, we're a growing state. We want to be taken seriously as a state. And that means state leadership includes looking ahead and looking beyond their next elections. That might be asking too much.
Well, I just think we're setting ourselves up for a Democratic tax plan to come out a month or 2 months before the session, because it's obvious from Mr. Conklin's views that there's not a lot of planning on what taxes are going to be needed in the next session. And I don't know if any taxes can get through. I mean, with our governor, what I wonder about is, what about these sunset taxes that were re-upped last session? Mm-hmm. Now, are we going to go back and the legislature is going to have to vote on those again? We're going to just keep kicking the can down the road on these taxes?
That'd be the easy thing to do.
I'm actually more optimistic, not particularly about if we confront it as a tax question, but if we confront it as a planning question. There are a lot of efforts actually that have begun that do look at the next decade, that do look at further policy issues. And as those begin to come to fruition, we're having them in economic development, we're having them in workforce development, the governor has been leading on a lot of these things. As those reports come out, they can't be done in a 2-year framework. And so rethinking the budget process U.S. with these kinds of things. If we want to be a state that's competitive in terms of workforce a decade from now, we can't wait a decade from now to start doing something. And you make a commitment, yes, you can do certain things within 2 years, but that has to be in the context of what are you going to do then in the next 2 years, and the next 2 years after that. We may drift into good policy making unintentionally. But I do think that we now have some pieces in place that aren't going to be just disjointed efforts in this biennium that we're going to do during the interim, that maybe we are going to have some longer-term strategies, some longer-term plans. I'm actually hopeful.
You know what? Hang on. I got to jump in here. That's a campaign slogan, backing into success. I can see it right there.
As long as it's success, I think that's a lot better than backing into the fireplace.
the thing is, though, is that after this next legislative session, all the players may change. We may have a new governor.
That's
we may
problem.
Have a new assembly speaker, Senate majority leader. So that's why we go on these two-year cycles, because the players
Everybody
change.
Changes, and the whims of the public change.
Okay, mm-hmm. I want to get Chris in here for the last word.
Thank you. Well, no, I think Sam, your point is excellent. As a business advocate, all business wants is stability. They want to know what's going to happen. If you're changing that every 2 years, you can't plan around that. As other speakers have alluded to, the governor is trying to make changes in that process. Obviously, we've got the interim process that is supposed to be a band-aid therefore, but we're still not solving that broader issue, and I don't think that's necessarily a partisan issue. Every legislator has that frustration, so we do have to fix it to remain competitive.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Career College of Northern Nevada, we take pride in the tremendous amount of success our graduates attained.
I have recommended it to many of my friends.
I would definitely recommend a CCNN student to other companies.
CCNN offers career training programs and associate degree programs to prepare you for a successful and fulfilling career.
I chose CCNN because I wanted something short and quick.
They helped me with placement in the job that I have today.
They pretty much pushed me.
You'll receive hands-on training that gives you the experience employers are looking for. Our goal is to ensure you can enter a career training program to help you achieve your educational and personal goals.
I have 3 kids and I really needed income.
I feel very successful and I owe everything to Career College of Northern Nevada.
If you'd like to begin a new career in health information technology or any of CCNN's programs, and if you're ready to be our next success story, call now.
University of Nevada men's basketball season tickets are on sale now. Nevada will be fighting to reclaim a WAC title. Don't miss your chance to see this talented and experienced team this season. Nevada sophomore Deontay Burton has been tabbed the league's preseason player of the year, and the pack has been selected to win the WAC, but they can't do it without your support. Season tickets start as low as $185. New this year, flexible ticket packages designed especially for you, starting at $60. Visit NevadaWolfpack.com or call 775-348-PACK to order your tickets. Nevada basketball, one community, one pack.
Bobby Page's is more than your convenient neighborhood dry cleaners. It's the 46 years of trust, expertise, and care delivered to each of your most delicate items. Alterations, tailoring, no problem. Exceptional bedding, table linen, our specialty. It's from our home to your home that we understand the value placed on these items. Bobby Page's Cleaners, where quality matters and service is expected. Leading the way, one satisfied customer at a time.
Bobby Page's.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, and tomorrow's guest is Chris Holt of the Nevada Business Connections.
We'll see you on the next broadcast.